If you have your Bibles, turn to the Epistle of Galatians, chapter 1. Tonight we have an important lesson. As Paul gave us the introduction last week to the book of Galatians, tonight we want to talk about not only the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the only gospel that can save a person. Paul the Apostle, in writing to the Galatians in chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, he follows up and he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you, and they want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than we have preached to you, let him be anathema or accursed. As we have said before, and so now I say it again, if anyone preach any other gospel than that you have received, let him be anathema or accursed." There was a lady and a child on a train, and they were heading towards the north. And while they were sitting on the train, the woman was very concerned about her stop. So the conductor came by and she said, "Excuse me, can you please tell me when we get to such and such a place?" And the conductor said, "Sure, I'll tell you. Don't worry about it. Just relax." And as the conductor left and walked back and forth, they made different stops. She still was a little bit nervous. And there was a passenger sitting next to her and said, "Hey, don't worry, conductors get very busy and, you know, they forget, but I'll let you know where to get off." And so the train went a couple more stops and they came to one stop and the doors were open and he said, "This is it." So the little girl and mother got up and they went outside and the train closed the doors and the train took off. A few minutes later, the conductor came up and said, "Excuse me, where is the woman and the child?" And he said, "Well, they made the stop and they got off in the last stop." He says, no, "I told you that I would let them know. That was the wrong stop." And so the train went backwards to find only the mother and the child frozen to death in the snow. False information. False information. Think of how many people receive false information with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think of how many people are going to hell because they believe the lie rather than the truth about God. Let me share some things with you that I think are of importance tonight, especially because we are dealing with something that is important. Paul here is actually rebuking and warning those people in his time that had come to a personal knowledge in Jesus Christ, and then these others came along. They were Judaizers and they were legalists and they were traditionalists, and they began to manipulate these people and to take them away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people like that. People like the Mormons, Jehovah Witnesses. And what I want you to do is I want you just to listen to some of the beliefs in what they believe, because they believe in a gospel of grace. No. They believe in a gospel of works. We believe in a gospel of faith and grace, period. Nothing else. The Christian Scientist, which is a religion and a system of healing founded by Mary Eddy Baker in 1866, based on an interpretation of the scriptures, asserting that disease, sin, and death may be overcome by understanding and applying the divine principles of Christian teachings. Christian Science believed that Jesus was just a human who demonstrated the Christ Spirit, which is ideal truth. They did not believe that he was God. And yet, think of how many people are Christian Scientists that believe in that health and wealth doctrine. And yet, they don't speak the truth about God. They don't believe in the same Jesus that you and I believe in tonight. And so it's really important, because you have loved ones, you have friends that not only may be atheists, but that some of them may belong to other denominations or other religions. And you need to know what you believe and where you stand in the truth of God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You see, he made it very clear. He did not say there are many ways to God. He said there is only one way to God. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one can come to the Father except you come through me, Jesus. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. You see, Jesus becomes the bridge builder as God the Father is on the other side, and man is always trying to avoid the bridge, Jesus. Always trying to go around some other way to come to salvation. Or through works. Jesus plus something else. No. You see, the Jehovah Witnesses, this is an organization that was legally incorporated in 1884 by Charles Taze Russell. It was then known as the Watchtower Bible Tract Society, and Russell rejected much of the teaching of Orthodox Christianity and built his own system of interpretation. His ideas were widely circulated through a 7-volume study in the scripture by the Watchtower Bible Tract Society. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is a created person, created by Jehovah, the second person, born as a man and became the Messiah in 20 AD. They don't believe that he's God. They also believe, they don't believe in the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet the Jehovah Witnesses are constantly going and walking the streets of America. And they'll even come to your doors like the Mormons, and they'll knock on your door and they'll say, "Hey, why don't you read our Watchtower magazine?" And I always tell them, "Why don't we read the Bible? Why do we need a magazine?" You see? You have to really be careful with people that are trying to sell to you some other gospel or some other Jesus. Theophany, the name is compounded of two Greek words and means knowledge of God and or God's knowledge or divine. It denotes an electric philosophic religious system founded in 1875 in New York, admittedly derived from Hinduism. It does not claim any new concepts, but presumes to present truths that are common to all religions. Theophany is a system of religious thought claiming a mystical insight into the divine nature. They believe that Jesus is a man who taught good ideas, but he's not God. You see? They have their own ideas about who Jesus Christ is. Mormonism, Mormons, what do they believe? Well, the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints claims to be the restoration of the church established by Jesus Christ. It has no association in any way with Roman Catholicism or Protestantism. Its organization, its practices are in many respects entirely unique among today's Christian denominations. The founder was Joseph Smith, born in Sharon, Vermont in 1805. Smith had moved to Palmyra, New York. There in 1820, he reported seeing his first heavenly vision. Two persons appeared to him in the brightness and glory defy all description. One of them spoke to me, calling me by name, and said, pointing to the other, "This is my beloved son, hear you him." Where have we heard that before? At the baptism of Jesus. On April the 6th, 1830, the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints was formally established in Fayette, New York, with 6 members. Mormons believe that Jesus is one of many gods to the one true God. They also believe that Jesus is Satan's brother. Satan's brother. And that one day, you will be a god with your own planet, ruling over those who were not as good Mormons, or and which means they were not good gods as you are. So it's really interesting that when you talk to a Mormon, they'll say, well, I'm a Christian. And I love talking to these guys. Because I say, well, if you're a Christian, then why? Because they always say, why don't you read the Book of Mormons and then you can read the Bible? And I say, why don't we read the Bible and forget the Book of Mormons? We don't need it. Joseph Smith was a false prophet. He was insane. They caught him digging holes in his backyard. He just went crazy. And yet here is a system of religion that has become world known, and they knock on doors and they ride their bicycles. I feel sorry for these young guys. You know, for the first 2 years they're missionaries, they have to ride their bicycles and go from, you know, city to city and be going from door to door. And they always have a weak one and a strong one. They've come to my house so many times, and I invite them in, you know, because I like talking to them. Because, I mean, when the guy is real weak and doesn't know his doctrine, then the other guy steps in and says, well, by the way. And then I say, okay, well, let's open our Bibles. Let's look at what God says. And usually they leave mad. So, you know. But that's all right. But imagine what people will do, and yet all these Mormon people, a lot of them are sincere people that have received the Mormon religion, and because they don't have Jesus Christ, they will end up in hell. False information. They didn't get the right information. You want to make sure you have the right information given to you. Otherwise, why believe? Unitarian Church, the Unity Church. The Unitarian Church believes that Jesus is not the Christ and there is no Trinity. Modernism believes that Jesus was a great ethical teacher. Islam. The Muslim religion is a monotheistic religion in which supreme deity is Allah and the chief prophet founder, Muhammad the prophet, and they believe that Jesus is one of 96 prophets. One of 96 prophets. He's not God. The Muslims, they don't believe that Jesus is God. When you read the Quran, interesting. The Catholic Church, interesting point. Because there's a lot of you that are here, including myself, that used to be Catholic. And I thought, you know, when I was a Catholic, I thought, well, you know, this is the Mother Church. This is the religion. And it's so sad to not only study the Catholic religion, but to understand that in so many areas of the Catholic religion, they literally deceive their people, especially when it comes to Jesus and Mary. Because they're always telling you how you don't need to go to Jesus, but you need to go to Mary. That Mary is the intercessor. And they say, well, you know, it's like a friend. Hey, listen, I don't need my friend to pray for me. I can pray directly to Jesus. That's just the way it is. The Roman Catholic Church believes that Jesus is God, but Mary is the mediator for you to get to Jesus. That is, they teach Mary worship. If this is true, then Mary becomes the focus rather than who? Jesus. And they believe that when a little child is baptized, when you take a little infant and they, you know, I was baptized when I was an infant. You know, they say that from that point on, you're saved. That's not true. You have to come to the age of accountability, to the age of knowledge, to know your right hand from your left hand, to know what's right, to know what's wrong. And yet these people, they're sincere in what they actually preach, And yet there have been so many people in every one of these religions, and there are many more, that do not have the truth of God. And they're leading people by false information, and they're sending them to hell, just like them. That's why we have to be so careful. What does the Bible teach about Jesus Christ, the Son of God? You know, when Peter, James, and John went to Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16, and they were on their way to Jerusalem because Christ was going to be crucified, they stopped off in Caesarea Philippi, and there's a stream of water there, and there's a massive rock there. And Jesus stopped, and he said, "Hey, you guys have heard a lot of things about me, but what are people saying about me? And what I want to know is, Peter, who do men say that I am? I don't care what anybody else says, who do you say that I am?" You see, Christianity is personal. Not just because your mom and dad and your great-grandmother were Christians, it makes you a Christian. That's not the way it works. Jesus told Peter, and Peter made the confession and said, "Lord, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elisha, some say you're Jeremiah the prophet, and some are saying other things. But what do you say, Peter?" And Peter said, "You are the Son of the living God. You are God." And then he said to him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven has given you a divine revelation." You see? And then Jesus dealing with Nicodemus. In the third chapter of John, Nicodemus was a rabbi, a Judaizer, one of the top, rich, but also one of the Sanhedrin, one of the 72. They were in that council. And because he didn't want to come by daytime, he came by nighttime, and he came to Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must be born again. Regeneration. No one can get into heaven because you're a good person, or because you know the Pope or Billy Graham or Chuck Smith. You'll never get in. You have to make sure that your children and your grandchildren, including yourself, that every one of them individually..." Why? Because God has no grandchildren. You see? It's important that you understand that every person has to make his or her own personal confession and receive Jesus Christ by coming to repentance of their sins and coming by faith in Jesus Christ and receiving eternal life from Him. That's the only way. There is no other way. You see, Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God. He said, "I am God." In Matthew 27:43, he said, "He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, for he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." It was a title of deity that Jesus used, that he was God. Secondly, Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Christ. In Matthew 26:63-64, he said, "But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." He's under trial. And Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." What does that mean? His title of what? Anointing. I am God. Jesus also claimed to be the Son of Man. In Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." What does that speak of? It speaks of his human nature. His human nature. Jesus claimed to be the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. Hey, they spoke of me in the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 24:44, "Then he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." The whole Old Testament. You see? It is written of me, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, divine fulfillment of the Word of God. And then Jesus claimed to be the Savior of the world. In Luke 19:10, he said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That which was lost. And what does that speak of? It speaks of the price of redemption for me. He came in redeeming. Then Jesus claimed to be the teacher and the master. In John 13:13-14, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for I am.' But if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." And this speaks of what? It speaks of his great knowledge and submission to become the great servant of the Lord. He was a servant, and yet he was God. Jesus claimed to be the Lord and God. In John 20:28, to Thomas he said, and he answered and said unto Thomas, Thomas saw him and said, "My Lord and my God." This speaks of his authority that he possessed as God. And then Jesus claimed to be one with authority for forgiveness of sins. Nobody can forgive sins, only God. Yet when I remember going to the Catholic Church and going in a confessional and talking to the priest and telling him my sins, you know, and he would give me, you know, go pray 5 Hail Marys or 2 Our Fathers, and then I would go right back and sin. You know how that is, you know, when you're in the world. But it was religion. There is nobody can forgive sins. I cannot forgive your sins. You cannot forgive my sins. Only Jesus Christ can forgive sinners. He's the only one. How does he do it? By divine atonement. Through his blood that he shed for you on Calvary, on the cross. Jesus also claimed to set men free from sin. In John 8:34-35, he said, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." That speaks of what? Of his power to set people free from sin. He's the only one that can do that. And then Jesus claimed to be the guarantee for life after death. Imagine that. When you die, you shall see me. In John 11:25-26, talking about Lazarus, he said, talking to Mary, Lazarus' sister, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. He's the eternal one. He is God. There is no one like Jesus Christ. That's why Paul, in this great gospel, in this great epistle, he's talking about the only gospel. Why? Because the Jews were coming along and saying, "Okay, you receive Christ, but let me say this, you got to be circumcised to be saved. You got to do all these works and ceremonies and keep the Sabbath day in order to be saved." Wrong! It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. They were perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul here is making it a very, not only in great anxiety, but notice what he said again in verse 6. "I marvel," Paul says, he's shocked, "that you are so fast turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto a different gospel." And the word here in the Greek is a different kind of teaching. Not the true teaching of Jesus Christ in the Greek. Let me read to you in the NIV what it says. It's pretty interesting what it says in the NIV. He says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ." I like that. A deserter. You know who a deserter is? One that runs away from the truth. And these people were deserting the grace of God for the law and for circumcision rites and for legalism and for all these things that the Jews were not only, you know, giving to them. And here Paul is saying the grace of God is unmerited favor. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is just put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and God will save you. And now you're going back to traditions and religion. Whatever happened to true relationship with Jesus Christ? Paul was shocked. He couldn't believe it. Let me read to you again what he says in the NIV. I am astonished that you are so soon quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. It is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And isn't that true? The Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, the Catholic Church, and all these people, what are they doing? They're trying to throw you into confusion. They confuse people when the truth of God is being given to us completely. God has given us the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus Christ. And I think it's really important that we understand that if Paul was shocked, I am shocked too, because there are people in every church and there are people, you know, in all the world that are constantly trying to seduce, trying to rip people off from the what? From the grace of God into a gospel of works. The gospel of works and law. You see? Be careful. Be careful of legalism, the do's and the don'ts. Hey, we are free moral agents of God, and we have been saved by the grace of God. Look what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8 and 9. He tells you very clearly there. Let me read it to you. In chapter 2, verse 8, he says in verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Here it is. Not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's the grace of God. It is not of works lest any man should boast. And yet there are people that are constantly boasting, especially these Judaizers. They were boasting in their law. They would ask, are you circumcised? If you're not, you can't be a Christian. You can't be saved. You can't go to heaven. And these people were going out and they were Gentiles among the Jews. And it's sad because the word that he used here, deserting, it literally means to bring to another place instead of the true place. You know? Just like I told you about that woman that got off at the wrong place. Misinformation. Departing. Or what we say, deserting the truth of Jesus Christ for something that is not real, but it's false. And eventually, it will lead you to hell. When he uses the word another gospel, Paul uses that here in two separate words. He says, first of all, in the Greek, which cannot be a difference in kind between one thing or another, or the other word that he uses here, on the other hand, he says, another one of the same kind. You see? And the word that he uses, another, it means not the same kind, but it's different. What the Mormons preach. And the Jehovah Witnesses preach. And the Catholic Church preaches. And all these people that are constantly trying to bring you into bondage. Into bondage. And pull you away from the grace that God has given to us so richly through Jesus Christ our Lord and our personal Savior. He's the one that paid with his blood. You see, if it's not of grace and it's not the gospel, it is not good news. It's bad news. You see? And we have received good news. Jesus said, if you come unto me, he says, I'll save you. I'll cleanse you. I'll wash you. I'll write your name in the book of life. You'll be a child of the light. And that's why Paul was shocked, because these Judaizers were coming against the truth of God, you know, in the book of Galatians. Look again in verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ unto a different kind of gospel. Notice that. It was a gospel of works, a gospel of legalism. You see, Paul had given to them the gospel of grace, just like I'm giving to you the gospel of grace. And somehow, these Judaizers came into the church, and they began to hit up young converts and began to say, man, how can you say you're saved if you're not circumcised, if you're not keeping the Ten Commandments, if you're not doing this, if you're not doing that, then you cannot be saved. You have to do all these things. No, Paul says, you don't have to do those things. The law was a schoolmaster that pointed to my sin and it brought me to Jesus Christ. The law condemned me. You see? The law cannot save me. The law condemns. And then at the same time, they were trying to live according to the law. And you cannot live according to the law. The law will condemn you. Paul's going to tell us more in the next chapters to come. Look what else he says in verse 7. He says, which is not another, but, notice, there are some people who trouble you. And the word trouble here in the Greek is interesting. He says they're bringing you to confusion or unrest. There's no peace. They're confusing you. You don't have the peace of God because they're telling you something else that the gospel of Jesus Christ preaches. You see? Be careful of the Bible plus this little book. Be careful with that. The Bible, period. Grace, period. Faith, period. Nothing else. Jesus, period. Nothing else. So Paul was very upset. He says, not only are confusing you, but they want to pervert the gospel of Christ. You know what that word pervert means there? It means to twist it. They're taking it out of context. To make it different. To make it different. From the grace of God to the works of the law. Wrong. You see? Remember in Acts chapter 15, when there was an uprising in the church, the early church, they were arguing with the disciples because the Jews were getting saved and then Gentiles began to get saved. And the Jews, they said, no, no, you can't be saved unless you're circumcised. So they went to Jerusalem and they met with the Jerusalem council and they straightened out and said, no, it's not of circumcision. It is by faith and grace in Jesus Christ, period. Read Acts 15. It's incredible. They stopped it immediately. Then they were pleased. But they were having problems among the Jews and the Gentiles. Because in that culture, the Gentiles were not circumcised. You see, only the Jews by tradition, according to the law of Judaism. And when Christ came, he said, it's no longer of works, it's of grace. No more circumcision, no more law. The law condemns you and it points to your sin and it points you to Jesus Christ. To come through faith in Jesus Christ. And then what else does he say? Look again. Because you see, these people, you know, they don't have the grace of God. What do? They don't have a love relationship. But what do they have? They have a relationship of rules and regulations and the law of God and legalism. Legalism that will destroy you completely. I love it. Because when you have a relationship of love, people ask me, well, why don't you drink? I don't need to drink. Or I can say, I drink all I want. They go, really? What do you drink? I said, nothing. Diet Coke. Why? Because I don't need it. You see? I can drink all I want. I'm not under the law. But I will not do that. Why? Because I know that I want to be sober-minded. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to think rightly. I want to be able to have my relationship with God. It is not a rule and regulation or what I do or what I don't do. It is a love relationship. I don't want to do that. Why? Because I don't want to hurt my Lord. I don't want to do anything that will displease Him. I want to please Him. That's a love relationship. But there are people that are under this law of rules and regulations. And you can't live like that. You'll destroy yourself. You'll be under bondage. You see? Verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, hey, listen, Paul's not nice. Let him be damned. Let him be accursed, or anathema in the Greek. You know what that means? Let him be thrown into the lowest, hottest hell. Wow. That's heavy. That's what he says to people that do not preach the grace of God, but walk away from the grace of God. Let him go to hell. That's what he's saying. He doesn't say it just once. He says it twice. He wants to make sure you get the point. Why? Because the Jews believed that salvation was only for the Jew, not for the Gentile. And yet, the Gentiles wanted to be saved, and at the same time, they didn't want to be circumcised, and they didn't want to live by the law. And so Paul said, you don't have to. All you have to do is trust in Jesus Christ by faith through grace, period. And the Jews became really angry. They didn't want to work like that. But that's why Peter, Paul, and James, and all these guys strained them out and share with them. Look again what he says in verse 9. As we have said before, so now we say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than we have received, let him be anathema, or let him be damned, or let him be accursed, or let him go to the hottest, lowest hell. That's what he says. So when someone comes to you from now on, a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, a Muslim, don't condemn them. Tell them the truth. There's only one gospel. The gospel is the good news. And Jesus Christ is God. And there's a Father, and there's a Son, and there's a Holy Spirit, and the three are one. Listen, and Jesus Christ came out of all eternity, and he came into this world, and he gave his life for us, and he died on the cross, so that through his blood, through his shed blood, he would make atonement for my sins and the sins of the world, for anyone that would repent, anyone that would come by faith in Jesus Christ would be forgiven and would be cleansed and washed by his blood. His name would be written in the book of life, and he would have immediately eternal life. That's what he gives to us. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing else. No other gospel. Any other gospel, let them be damned. Let them be damned. And be careful of those that are Catholic. When you preach to them, don't talk to them about Catholicism. Talk to them about Jesus. The Catholics have the same Bible that the Protestants have, except for 17 books that they have. Apocrypha books, historical books, that's it. We don't accept those. They're historical. Take them to the Gospel of John in their Bible. Take them to the book of Revelation. Take them to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Take them to Acts. They have the same Bible. And show them in the scriptures as you study to show thyself approved, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul told Timothy, Timothy, study so you don't have to be ashamed. So when someone asks you a question about Jesus or the Holy Spirit or God or any doctrinal thing, you'll have an answer. And if you don't know it, say, I'll check back with you. Let me go read it up and study, and I'll come back and I'll talk to you. But don't just start talking without knowing, because then you're going to give misinformation, false information. No, no, you want to give true information, and true information, there is only one gospel, there is only one way, there is only one truth and one life, and that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, period. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord God, to thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercies. Lord God, as we study this great epistle and the rest of the epistles, Father, teach us doctrine. Lord, teach us to really stand for righteousness and truth. And Father, we do pray for every person in our families, friends, that have been deceived. And they have the wrong gospel, Father. A different kind of gospel. Not the gospel of grace, but the gospel of law and legalism. Lord God, we pray that you would set them free. And that you would use our lives through your grace and through your mercies and through your love. That we would demonstrate this great gospel of grace given to each one of us individually, God. Father, how we love you. How we honor you. How we praise you. Lord God, it's so good to be with our family here at Calvary Chapel. And Father, to see the interest in those that come to study the Word, Father. We pray, Father, for the rest of the body of Christ, Lord God, because many of them can be deceived. If they're not studying, if they're not in Bible study, Lord, they will be deceived. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would speak to our congregation, Lord God, especially on Sunday mornings, Father. Speak to them, show them, Lord God, that we need to be men and women of prayer and in the Word. Father, we pray if there's anyone here tonight that is visiting or someone brought them and they don't know you. If you're here tonight, whether you're young or old, male or female, doesn't matter who you are. If you would like to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, His grace, His love, and His mercy and forgiveness through His blood. If you want to get saved, you want salvation, you want eternal life. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now, to walk out onto the aisle, walk down the aisle, and come down here to the front. Stand here as we worship, and then I'm going to pray with you so you can receive Jesus Christ. Anybody, just come as we worship. Okay, pray with me this prayer, okay? Repeat after me out loud. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.